In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. And that's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Thanks for being with me, Valerie.
In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 to 24, it says, "No one should try to do what will help only himself." And I have found over and over again that I have my agenda, and on a Saturday when my husband is free, he has the day off, there have been many, many Saturdays when I've been frustrated all day long because he wasn't doing all the things I wanted him to do. Do any of you women have that experience? We have our agenda. We think that they should do these certain things. And finally, I remember asking the Lord to help me not to have a frustrating Saturday. And he reminded me that it was probably because I was trying to tell my husband what needed to be done. And my husband would even get into the habit of thinking, there's going to be a whole bunch of things that I have to do on Saturday. And Val, what are they? And I hated that the spirit that was there, my telling him that there needed to be these things and his feeling of overwhelming responsibility that he had to be doing these things done. And so I finally submitted this to the Lord, the Saturdays. And I'll never forget my mother saying one time, "Are you really surrendered to how your husband spends his free time?" And that convicted me because I felt I had not at all been surrendered to God's will and God's plan for what my husband wanted to do on Saturdays. So I did give that up to the Lord, and I can honestly say the Saturdays have been much freer, more peaceful, and more full of joy. Because I've asked the Lord to help me to keep quiet. And of course, my husband, in return, I guess because of the Holy Spirit's leading, has wanted to do more of some of the normal jobs that have to be done on Saturdays. So he's doing it gladly, and we're both much happier. We end Saturdays now with a thankful spirit rather than frustrated that we didn't get all the things done that I thought we should get done. As I said, I'll tell you about my failures, and over and over again, want to account and want to list the things that I thought my husband did wrong. And one day it dawned on me, we were getting dressed in the morning, and I have always been one to ask questions, and he's come from a family where they don't ask questions. One of my common, typical questions was, if he came in from a meeting, I usually go to bed early, "What time did you get home? What time did you get to bed?" And then another common question was, "What did you get done today at the office?" It suddenly dawned on me one morning, because I was about to ask him that, the Lord said to me, "You want to build up your own righteousness by asking him questions that show that he didn't do all that you would have done." And I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit, because I had seen over the many, many years, this has probably been 15 years, that my questions were constantly building myself up, building my own righteousness, rather than trying to help him and build up him, and rather than trying to encourage him. So I really have, since that time, have asked less questions. I'm not saying I've learned it perfectly, but I still am tempted to ask questions. And when I do, often Walt will say, "Why are you asking me that?" Because I told him this whole story. I told him how the Holy Spirit convicted me. And so he knows that I'm trying to build up my own righteousness if I ask him a question. Over the years, as we've had more and more children, each fall we would start a homeschooling year. And I would try to make a new chart, a new schedule of events that were going to happen in the home. And this year, when I was talking to Walt, asking his opinion on what time we should have breakfast, what time would he be able to be with us, and he said, "Now, remember, it's not your organization that's going to make our home a happy and peaceful place. And this is what we've been learning in the past year. It's not my performance that's going to make a perfect family at all. It's the Lord Christ living in us and his love shining through us. So I planned for breakfast to be at 7:15. And the night before, he was working on something with Elizabeth. I went up to bed, and I remembered that I had to ask him to go to the store. He's often running to the store for milk or this or that. And so I went back downstairs to ask him to please go to the store to get some milk for breakfast and to get my glass of water. I always take a glass of water upstairs to bed. And I went downstairs, got the glass of water, saw what they were doing, and completely forgot to ask him to go get the milk. So I was real determined about this new schedule. We were going to have breakfast at 7:15. Had everything on the table. Elizabeth was up helping me. She's the 14-year-old. And we got everybody to the breakfast table. And I could smile at myself because I've seen this happen every fall where I've tried so hard to follow the schedule. And I've usually, after about a month, the time slides and we are eating at 7:30 or 7:45. And so I was joyfully doing this and not so, you know, uptight and mad that if it didn't happen, it was going to be a failure on my part and I was going to be mad at everybody for not being there at 7:15. Well, anyway, got everybody to the table, had cereal out, had bowls out, had toast out. No, didn't have the toast out, had the butter and the jam out, knives and spoons and everything on the table. Opened the refrigerator, there was no milk and no toast, no bread at all. And I had to laugh, and I said to the kids, you see what a sense of humor God has, because I was so excited about getting this breakfast on the table at 7:15. We literally had nothing to eat. We didn't even have eggs. I thought, well, first thing, I can fix eggs. Well, we didn't even have eggs that morning. So couple of them could smile with me. Walt said, our performance is not so perfect as we had hoped, right? And but what a great lesson in, again, trusting and resting in the Lord and not in what I have accomplished. So every year, I've tried these charts, new schedules, and every year I've failed. And whether it's starting on time or whether it's making sure everybody gets their chores done or whether it's getting school started right at 9 o'clock or what they are. And again, building up my own righteousness was my goal. And over 16 years of marriage, I either rejoiced in my performance and my successes or I was in total discouragement and depression and defeat because I couldn't perform up to what I thought I should. And you've all heard my mother... Some of you have heard my mother talk about their wonderful Howard home that she grew up in and how everything was in order. And I've always thought that was the ideal. That's what I should be striving for, and I should make my husband do exactly as Grandpa Howard did. And it hasn't worked. God has given us totally a different home, a different family, a different name. And I really can say that in the past year, the Lord has been teaching me to rest in his righteousness and to believe in his grace. And so God is a God of new beginnings every day. And as we want to establish the authority of God's word in our children's lives, so we also want to establish the authority of us as parents over our children. My tendency, I started out again thinking there wasn't going to be any problem disciplining my children. My tendency has been to be soft-hearted, easy on them, not demand anything of them. Not anything, but just not demand very much of them. And, of course, this world and the philosophy you hear is you can't expect children to do very much because they're children. And especially you can't expect children under two to obey. And especially children at the age of 2 to 3 are going to be terrible, the terrible twos. Well, I've discovered, you know, that if we start early with teaching what our authority is in the Lord, that I am the mother, just that simple phrase helps me to help the children to see that they must respect and obey me. And I start to hear them whine or start to raise their voice at me or start to disagree with what I'm saying. I have often stopped just recently and said, I am your mother, and you are to do what I'm asking you to do, even though it's hard. Well, I think my life verse has to be 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 10, because God has to give me this strength and power to be the authority that I naturally don't want to be. I want to discuss it with my children and listen to all their excuses, and I want to agree with them because I want to make them happy. But 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 10 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." And that, of course, includes being the authority that my children need. "As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever." His righteousness abides forever, not mine. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Again, Christ is my righteousness. I am a failure at being consistent, at training my children consistently. I'm an absolute failure. And I'll never forget hearing a mother of 10 children talking about her schedule of homeschooling and how everything went smoothly every day. And she studied all the books every night that she was preparing for the next day. And I just was feeling more and more depressed and such a failure. And then somebody asked the question from the audience, "How have you dealt with potty training with your 10 children?" And she said, "Funny you should ask that. I am a total failure at potty training." And I said, "Phew, at least she's a failure in one point." But again, the Lord is teaching me that his righteousness is what I have to focus on and not my own, and that he has forgiveness for me every time I fail and every time I sin.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.